Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 10. I want to talk about some keys to change. I do not have a lot of notes today, so you're going to have to bear with me. I jotted down a few thoughts, but I want to talk about just some keys to change in our lives. I hope that we are all desirous of change. I hope there's something in us that we are longing for God to move. We are longing for Him to do something new in a personal way and also in our lives. And so I want to talk about change. The change that is available to each one of us, but it doesn't always come cheap. First Samuel 10, we will start in verse 5. And Samuel is talking to Saul. He had anointed him with oil. And he said, "After that, you will go to Gibeah of God, where there is a Philistine outpost. And as you approach the town, you will meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high place with lyres, tambourines, flutes, and harps being played before them. And they will be prophesying. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person." You know, what an amazing thing that being in God's presence could change Saul in a moment of time into a different person. Do you know, as I said before, change is available, but there are keys to being changed, keys that each one of us can look to. And so the Lord says, "You'll be changed, Saul, into a different person. And once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Go down ahead of me to Gilgal. I will surely come down to you to sacrifice burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, but you must wait 7 days until I come to you and tell you what you are to do." And as Saul turned to leave Samuel, God changed Saul's heart, and all these signs were fulfilled that day. When they arrived at Gibeah, a procession of prophets met him. The Spirit of God came upon him in power, and he joined in their prophesying. And when all those who had formerly known him saw him prophesying with the prophets, they asked each other, "What is this that has happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" The first thing, then, there's no order in this, but if there's a priority, if there are keys to seeing change in our lives, number one is get into God's presence. It's amazing that as Saul got into the presence of the Lord with these prophets that were prophesying, that God changed him. And there is something for being in God's presence. In Exodus 33 and verse 11, you don't have to turn to it, but Moses went from the tent, from being in God's presence and from God speaking to him. And the Bible says that a young man named Joshua, Moses left, and Joshua had an open door to leave too. And the Bible says this, Joshua lingered in the presence of the Lord. What opens the door for a young Joshua to lead the children of Israel, God's people, into the promised land, into what God had for them? He was someone that lingered in God's presence when he didn't have to. When he was free to go, Joshua stayed behind and sat before God and communicated with God. King David, we know about his exploits, but when you look at David, he said in Psalm 27, verse 4, "One thing have I desired, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." And getting in God's presence matter so much to David that he said in Psalm 84, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to be in the tents of wickedness. It was such a priority that God's presence made the difference. If you turn to 1 Samuel 19, 1 Samuel 19, Saul was sending people, starting in verse 18. He was sending people to apprehend David. He would find out where David was, and he would send men to capture David. And reading from 18 to 24, it says, when David had fled and made his escape, he went to Samuel at Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. Then he and Samuel went to Naoth and stayed there. And word came to Saul, David is in Naoth at Ramah. And he sent men to capture him. But when they saw a group of prophets prophesying, with Samuel standing there as their leader, the Spirit of God came upon Saul's men, and they also prophesied. The question was, what was going to win out? Was their mission to capture David going to win, or was the presence of God going to win? Amazingly, the presence of God won. And sometimes we look at things like being in God's presence in worship, in our personal devotions, and being in church. We look at it as a duty and something we have to do. Being in God's presence is an absolute privilege, and it's the place God can speak to us. It's the place God can change us. It's the place God can empower us. The story goes on, and in verse 21, Saul was told about it. And he sent more men, and they prophesied too. Saul sent men a third time, and they also prophesied, because the presence of God was stronger than the hate in their lives. The presence of God was stronger than their mission to capture and kill David, because Saul was jealous. We've discounted God's presence. We have not valued the presence of God, whether it is in services, private devotional time, where we get alone with God and we block out everything else. I hope we all have times we put our cell phones in another room and we get alone with God and we turn it off. And that's not to be legalistic, but that God can have our full attention and we can go after him. Saul three times sent men to arrest David. In verse 23, he got tired of their failures. He said, I'll do it myself. Who's ever done the old, this time I'll do it. I asked Josh to do it. I asked Elijah to do it. I'll do it myself this time. And so Saul, it's probably a bad one to use an example. So Saul, verse 22, he himself left for Ramah and went to the great cistern at Sakeu. And he asked, where are Samuel and David? Over in Naoth at Ramah, they said. So Saul went to Naoth at Ramah. I'll do it myself. But the Spirit of God came even upon him. You know, he was filled with jealousy at this point. We know the story. They had started to sing about David and Saul, and they sang, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s, and Saul could not handle it. From that time on, it says he sought to kill David because he was jealous and envious. And so here, filled with hatred and jealousy and murder, he goes to David, and it says the Spirit of God came even upon him, and he walked along prophesying until he came to Naoth. And prophesying there is, he was declaring the glory of God. Prophesy, your God will be with you. Your God will fight your enemies. Can you imagine the things coming out of Saul's mouth because he got into God's presence? Finally, it says that he stripped off his robes and prophesied also in Samuel's presence. laid that way all that day and night. This is why people say is Saul also among the prophets. And so, if we're going to see change in our lives, there must be times where we get in God's presence and we get alone with God, we get in anointed worship music, and we allow God to speak to us and to do something where He changes us. Part of change is putting God first. It's Matthew 6 and verse 33, in a verse that I'm sure that as soon as the words come out, we all know it. But Matthew 6, 33 says, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." If we want to see change in our lives, in answers to prayer, in how God uses us, we've got to put God first. Six areas, and we're not going to go through them today. They almost all start with F. But God's got to be first in our faith, in what we trust. And who do we turn to when there's difficulty? Do we turn to God? Is He first in our faith? And, you know, I've been wrestling with this. How can we tell? And I don't have the answer yet. How can we tell when God is first? You know, I could tell Mrs. D got a haircut Tuesday night because the color was different and, you know, the shape, I'm not saying that. The shape was different. And I could look and I could tell. You know, I could tell the BBS kids were having a great time because of the way they were running and smiling and jumping. And, you know, Amy was playing a game where they were on the outside of this piece of plastic. And I mean, they were not playing it calmly. Whatever was in the middle was flying here and flying there. They were having a riot. I could tell. But it's a lot harder to tell when we're putting God first in our lives and what that should look like. What does it look like to put God first in our faith? What does it look like, six things, to put God first in our family and in the priorities of our lives? What does that look like, and then are we doing it? You know, Carrie mentioned, you know, be faithful in our giving. Put God first in your finances. Putting God first in our tithes and in our offerings. The fourth one, and it's an interesting one, and it's putting God first in our physical health. I don't know, most of us, and that's a hard one for me, I'll be honest, because I love sweets and I love to eat foods that I'm sure I shouldn't all the time, I'll be honest, but do you know, the healthier you are, the easier it is to hear from the Lord. You know, you exercise, however it works in the natural, it's easier to get closer to God when you're physically healthy. And so our physical health, putting God first, putting Him first in our friendships, in our relationships, that can be a tough one. Putting God first in our friendships. You know, if you're hanging around with people that are not saved, I will say this, and I felt this morning. If we're hanging around people not saved, there should be something in us where we are praying for them, we are looking for opportunities to invite them to church or to say something about praying for them, or to give a reason for the hope in our lives. If we are hanging around unsaved people, and none of that is happening, we're never praying for them, never witnessing, not concerned with their salvation, we're using them.
Right.
And I'm sorry, I hope that's not offensive, but we're using them for our pleasure. If we are hanging around the lost, there's got to be something. There's got to be something. I don't care if you're saying anything. But when you leave their presence, you say, "Lord, work, soften their heart. Lord, do a work in them." There's got to be something in our friendships that they glorify God, not meet a need in us. Because that's what using someone is. We're not concerned with them. They meet a need in us. And then the last one, putting God first in our future plans. You know, making our future plans with God in mind and God first. We turn next to Exodus 3. One of the other areas that where change is so available. In Exodus chapter 3, it's the story of Moses at the burning bush. Exodus 3, verses 1 to 4. And it says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. And Moses saw that the bush was on fire and did not burn up. And he thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. King James, I will turn aside and see why the bush does not burn up. And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, that's the key. God was watching Moses. God sent a bush, an angel was in the bush. The bush burned with fire but wasn't concerned. And God wanted to know if he could catch Moses' attention. If he would turn aside. And there's got to be something in you and I that makes, and I wrote this out before service. I had notes and changed, but that makes encountering God a priority. That we take notice when something different happens. We take notice of something and we are open, whether it's listening to a message that someone says something. Someone comes up to you and says, you're not going to believe this message I heard. And we make it a priority in our lives. We make encountering God a priority. We find ourselves in environments where things can happen. For Moses, he turned aside in a way that changed everything. In Acts 7:31, Stephen's talking about this event. And he said, as Moses went to look more closely, he heard the Lord's voice. Can I encourage you to look for places where you can encounter God? And we live in this media-driven age where we can do it through podcasts, we can do it through messages. I watched a video online this morning, a 10-minute video. It was just amazing. But we have more at our fingertips to encounter God than any generation in history. But we have more opportunities to fill our lives with activities and with different things. We are being torn in two directions. The opportunities for more of God have never been greater. And the opportunities to fill our time with the things of the world have never been greater. Change is there for you and I, but making God encounters a priority is going to have so much to do with it. We've got to value God's presence. We've got to give God the opportunity to get a hold of us. I told someone the story this week, something was going on in their life, and Mrs. D and I had gone to a wedding in Olean, New York, of my best friend, Richard Jaeger. We had gone to high school together. We had lived together when I left school for, it must have been 5 or 6 years until we got married. Richard was getting married to Becky and invited us down to Olean. We were down for the wedding, and I can remember getting super sick on Saturday night. Kidney infection, and I was going to stay in the hotel. I don't know if Mrs. D was going to stay with me or leave me and go to church. I can't remember. But I remember someone saying, Pastor Schaefer, he said, if you have to crawl, you get to church. And do you remember that, Mrs. D? He said, if you have to crawl, you get to church. And it was that Sunday in a church that never been in before, never been in after, that we were prayed for the ministry. He took off his coat and put it on our shoulders. And the Sunday that I wanted to stay home, and I deserved to stay home because I was really sick, was a life-changing Sunday. You know, we have to make encountering God such a priority that excuses and convenience don't stand a chance. And I hope that's not coming out legalistic, but that encountering God is such a priority that we go out of our way, that we say no to other things, that we might say yes to God in what he wants to do in our lives. When we think of change, go to Romans 12:2 next. Romans 12:2 is an incredible key to change. We've heard about it recently. 12:1-12. We'll do 1 and 2. And it says, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Then he says, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, New Living Translation, by changing the way you think. NIV is by the renewing of your mind. And if we're going to see change in our lives, our old patterns of how we look at things have to go away. And we have to change the way we think. There's people that, we sang those VBS songs. There's people that honestly believe they have to fight for themselves because God is not on their side and God won't fight for them. There's people that believe that there are many ways to be saved. There are people that believe such a variety of things that it stands in the way of breakthrough and change. And Paul's talking about transformation, metamorphosis. You guys know this. It's the word used when the process of the larvae and the cocoon and finally the butterfly coming out, it's metamorphosis. It's a radical change. And he said, be ye transformed, radically changed, by changing the way you think. That's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. But here's what it tells us. That our thought patterns can be really messed up. Our thought patterns about God, our thought patterns about what he wants to do in our lives, our thought patterns about how he wants to use us. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, by changing how you think. You know, this world tries to get us to think that God's not on our side. Trying to get us to think, and Carrie mentioned it at one point, that we can live for today, not for eternity. You know, we need to be living our lives with eternity in mind. We're blessed to be here. We have so much, but we live for eternity, and we have eternal values. What matters is eternity. Everything else is secondary. Nobody will be wearing the clothes that we are wearing today, at least that's my guess, 10 years from now. Okay? My guess is that nobody 10 years from now will be driving the same car. Okay? That's my guess. Well, maybe Gary hopes to drive the same car. But my guess is that 10 years from now, we'll all have different shoes on, different clothes, less hair for the guys. Things change. But what doesn't change is Jesus Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forever. What doesn't change is that we will spend eternity either in heaven or hell. And I trust everyone here with the Lord in heaven. But it's the eternal that lasts forever. The stuff you can see is stuff that fades away. The chairs break. Cars break down. My tires wore out. I had to get new tires on Friday after 3 nails in a tire in 1 week. They wore out. 30,000 miles, and I needed 4 new tires. That's what tires do. That's what tires do. And if you get 50,000 miles out of them, they still wear out. But eternal values never go away. That's why Jesus said, listen, seek first the kingdom of God. Put first things first. The Living Bible in Proverbs 3:5, it's in your announcements. And it says, if you put God first in everything you do, he will direct your paths and he will crown your efforts with success. Whatever you put your hand to do, if you put God first, you'll see his blessing. You know, some of the areas that we want to see blessing and we want to see breakthrough and we want to see change, the keys are putting God first, making his presence a priority, being available to encounter God, changing the way we think. And all of a sudden, we find fulfillment in life. See, I think change is much closer than we realize. It might cost more. It might cost more. But I think change is so close, and it's so available, if we will honor God with our lives. The last thing, there's a few scriptures, but 2 Kings 4, there's 2 last scriptures.
Actually, yes.
2 Kings chapter 4. It's the story of a widow woman, and her husband had died. He was one of the prophets and left her with mega bills. Whatever the Old Testament credit card system was, that when he died, there were some bills to be paid. Verse 1, she goes to Elisha and she says, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my 2 boys as his slaves. And what did Elijah say? What do you have? And she said, I've got just a little bit of oil. And he said, okay, we can work with that. Verse 3, go and ask all of your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. There's this scripture in the wedding in Cana. You don't have to turn to John 2. But when Jesus did a miracle in Cana, there were 6 empty water pots. And he said, go fill them with water and I'll do a miracle. Here it was empty jars that they poured oil into. And one of the things that I felt, and I hope that I'm doing it justice, but sometimes we have to get empty. Sometimes we have to get empty for God to fill us. You know, if our life is so filled and we're satisfied with what we have, and satisfied with a measure of God. I'm thankful for God's presence today in worship. It was awesome. I thought it was awesome singing VBS songs. So I thought it was wonderful. But it can't satisfy. It can't satisfy. There's got to be something in us that wants more of God, that wants to see God pour out his Spirit, that wants to be changed like Saul was changed. And all of a sudden, we're prophesying, and the anointing of God is on us, and he's speaking. And like Moses, he's recommissioning us. Moses had 40 years of giving up. You know the story of Moses. At 40 years old, he thought it was his time to be the deliverer. And he killed an Egyptian and buried him in the sand. Then the next day, he tried to break up a fight. But word got out of what he did, and he ran away and fled to the desert, and for 40 years he watched his father-in-law's sheep in a barren desert. But something in him turned aside. Something inside him turned aside for a fresh encounter with God. I think change is at our fingertips, in a sense. I think change for every one of us is right there waiting, but God's got to be a priority. And God's got to be first in our families and finances, our faith and friendships, our plans and our physical health. God's got to be first. And when God is first, God blesses. When God is first and we honor him, his blessing flows in the areas that matter most to us. I read a statement this week, and it was pretty interesting. No parent is happier than their saddest child. Who agrees? It's hard to be happier when your kids aren't. You know, it's hard to be happy when your kids aren't and they're struggling. And you know, if we are going to see breakthrough and change, it's going to come because we honor God. When we honor God, honor me, says the Lord, and I will honor you. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. God encourages us, but I want to just encourage you guys with these few steps. How do we see change and radical change? Get into God's presence. Make God encounters a priority. I've been saying, Lord, if there's a conference you want to send me to, then I can just get away, and if it happens to be in Florida in winter, I am willing, Lord. You know, I want to make myself available, but if there's something that you want to do, we want to be open. We had Paul Tucker come to speak the word of the Lord. I can tell you, I wasn't, and my family, we're not the biggest fans of having a guest speaker Thursday night on my birthday. I can tell you, I did not win any points for rescheduling the midweek to my birthday when they wanted to have a party. And then to make it worse, John was in town that afternoon for a Thursday Tigers game with their new baby, and with their church, and he said, Dad, it's perfect. We'll come over after the game. We'll be in town. You'll get to see the baby. We'll have the birthday party. And I was like, oh, praise the Lord. Yeah, not going to happen. But for all of us, it's putting God first, making hearing from him a priority, and going out of our way for God, changing how we think. Be careful, negative thoughts. Your negative thoughts are never birthed in God. Lord, help us with what we think. And then get empty. Sometimes we're full of ourselves. We think we can do anything. Get empty, get into God's presence, and put God first. Let's stand. Can you guys leave one of your courses? Hallelujah. Let's